ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य।
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्।
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्।
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम्।
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम्।
ततो जयमुज्जीरये। Welcome back. We're continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're now at the fifth canto, 14th chapter, taking up where we left off at the lunch break, at chapter 14, the material world as the great forest of enjoyment, with text number one. And we'll have the good fortune of hearing the reading first from His Holiness Keshava Bhati Das Goswami Maharaj. Go pray Manande Haribo. Haribo, Haribo.
So Jed Bharat is kindly elaborating on the teachings that he's already given to Maharaj Rahugana. He gave them pretty directly, but also they were analogies. So he's asking him to explain the analogies. So now we're going to hear the philosophy, the analogies, the explanation of the analogy, and now we're going to hear the elaboration on the reflections of the analogies. Just in case we didn't get the point. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Chapter 14. The material world as the great forest of enjoyment. Text 1. When King Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami about the direct meaning of the material forest, Shukadeva Goswami replied as follows. My dear King, a man belonging to the mercantile community, Vanik, is always interested in earning money. Sometimes he enters a forest to acquire some cheap commodities like wood and earth, and sell them in the cities at good prices. Similarly, the conditioned soul, being greedy, enters this material world for some material profit. Gradually, he enters the deepest part of the forest, not really knowing how to get out. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by the material atmosphere, which is created by the external energy under the control of Lord Vishnu. Thus, the living entity comes under the control of the external energy, Daivi Maya. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, he does not attain the association of devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord. Once in the bodily conception, he gets different types of bodies one after the other under the influence of material energy, and impelled by the modes of material nature, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. In this way, the conditioned soul goes sometimes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to the earthly planets, and sometimes to the lower planets, and lower species. Thus he suffers continuously due to different types of bodies. These sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed. Sometimes they are very severe, and sometimes they are not. These bodily conditions are acquired due to the conditioned soul's mental speculation. He uses his mind and five senses to acquire knowledge, and these bring about the different bodies and different conditions. Using the senses, under the control of the external energy, Maya, the living entity suffers the miserable conditions of material existence. He is actually searching for relief, but he is generally baffled, although sometimes he is relieved after great difficulty. Struggling for existence in this way, he cannot get the shelter of pure devotees who are like bumblebees engaged in loving service at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Purport. The most important information in this verse is Hari Guru Charana Aravinda Madhukara Anupadavim. In this material world, the conditioned souls are baffled by their activities, and sometimes they are relieved after great difficulty. On the whole, the conditioned soul is never happy. He simply struggles for existence. Actually, his only business is to accept the spiritual master, the Guru, and through him, he must accept the lotus feet of the Lord. This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasade Bhoy, Bhakti Lata Bij. People struggling for existence in the forests or cities of the material world are not actually enjoying life. They are simply suffering different pains and pleasures, generally pains, that are always inauspicious. They try to gain release from these pains, but they cannot due to ignorance. For them, it is stated in the Vedas, Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva bigacchet. When the living entity is lost in the forest of the material world, in the struggle for existence, his first business is to find a bona fide guru who is always engaged at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. After all, if he is at all eager to be relieved of the struggle for existence, he must find a bona fide guru and take instructions at his lotus feet. In this way, he can get out of the struggle. Since the material world is compared herein to a forest, it may be argued that in Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in the cities. A great city, however, is like a great forest. Actually, city life is more dangerous than life in the forest. If one enters an unknown city without friend or shelter, living in that city is more difficult than living in a forest. There are many big cities all over the surface of the globe. Wherever one looks, he sees the struggle for existence going on 24 hours a day. People rush about in cars going 70 and 80 miles an hour, constantly coming and going. And this sets the scene of the great struggle for existence. One has to rise early in the morning and travel in that car at breakneck speed. There is always the danger of an accident, and one has to take great care. In his automobile, the living entity is full of anxieties, and his struggle is not at all auspicious. Apart from human beings, other species, like cats and dogs, are also struggling very hard and day and night for existence. Thus, the struggle for existence continues, and the conditioned soul changes from one position to another. For a while, he's a child, but he has to become a boy. From a boy, he has to change into a youth, and from youth to manhood and old age. Finally, when the body is no longer workable, he has to accept a new body and a different species. Giving up the body is called death, and accepting another body is called birth. The human form is an opportunity to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, and through him, the Supreme Lord. This Krishna consciousness movement has been started to give an opportunity to all the members of human society who are misled by foolish teacher leaders. No one can get out of this struggle for existence, which is full of miseries, without accepting a pure devotee of the Lord. The material attempt changes from one position to another, and no one actually gains relief from the struggle for existence. The only resort is the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, and through him, the lotus feet of the Lord. Text 2. In the forest of material existence, the uncontrolled senses are like plunderers. The conditioned soul may earn some money for the advancement of Krishna consciousness, But unfortunately, the uncontrolled senses plunder his money through sense gratification. The senses are plunderers because they make one spend his money unnecessarily for seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, desiring, and willing. In this way, the conditioned soul is obliged to gratify his senses, and thus all his money is spent. This money is actually acquired for the execution of religious principles, but it is taken away by the plundering senses. Purport. Purva janmarjita vidya purva janmarjitam dhanam agri davati davati. By following the principles of the Varnashram Dharma, one attains a better position in the material world. One may be rich, learned, beautiful, or high-born. One who has all these assets should know that they are all meant for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, when a person is misguided, he misuses his high position for sense gratification. Therefore, the uncontrolled senses are considered plunderers. The good position one attains by executing religious principles is wasted as the plundering senses take it away. By executing religious principles under the laws of Varnashram and Dharma, one is placed in a comfortable position. One may very easily use his assets for the further advancement of Krishna consciousness. One should understand that the wealth and opportunity one gets in the material world should not be squandered in sense gratification. They are meant for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore teaching people to control the mind and five knowledge-acquiring senses by a definite process. One should practice a little austerity and not spend money on anything other than the regulative life of devotional service. The senses demand that one see beautiful things. Therefore, money should be spent for decorating the deity in the temple. Similarly, the tongue has to taste good food, which should be brought and offered to the deity. The nose can be utilized in smelling the flowers offered to the deity, and the hearing can be utilized by listening to the vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. In this way, the senses can be regulated and utilized to advance Krishna consciousness. This is a good position. Thus a good position might not be spoiled by material sense gratification in the form of illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. One spoils an opulent position in the material world by driving cars, spending time in nightclubs, or tasting abominable food in restaurants. In this way, the plundering senses take away all the assets that the conditioned soul has acquired with great difficulty. Text 3. My dear king, family members in this material world go under the names of wife and children, but actually they behave like tigers and jackals. A herdsman tries to protect his sheep to the best of his ability, but the tigers and foxes take them away by force. Similarly, although a miserly man wants to guard his money very carefully, his family members take away all his assets. Similarly, although a miserly man wants to guard his money very carefully, his family members take away all his assets forcibly, even though he is very vigilant. Purport. One Hindi poet has sung, Din ki taki ni rat ki bhagani, palak palak lahukuse. During the daytime, the wife is compared to a witch, and at night she is compared to a tigress. Her only business is sucking the blood of her husband both day and night. During the day, there are household expenditures, and the money earned by the husband at the cost of his blood is taken away. At night, due to sex pleasure, the husband discharges blood in the form of semen. In this way, he is bled by his wife both day and night. Yet he is so crazy that he very carefully maintains her. Similarly, the children are also like tigers, jackals, and foxes. As tigers, jackals, and foxes take away lambs, despite the herdsman's vigilant protection, children take away the father's money, although the father supervises the money himself. Thus, family members may be called wives and children, but actually, they are plunderers. Text 4. Every year, the plowman plows over his grain field, completely uprooting all weeds. Nonetheless, the seeds lie there, and not being completely burned, again come up with the plants sown in the field. Even after being plowed under, the weeds come up densely. Similarly, the grihastha ashram, family life, is a field of fruitive activity. Unless the desire to enjoy family life is completely burned out, it grows up again and again. Even though camphor may be removed from a pot, the pot nonetheless retains the aroma of camphor. As long as the seeds of desire are not destroyed, fruitive activities are not destroyed. Purport. Unless one's desires are completely transferred to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the desire for family life continues even after one has taken sannyas. Sometimes in our society, ISKCON, a person out of sentiment may take sannyas, but because his desires are not burned completely, he again takes to family life, even at the risk of losing his prestige and disgracing his good name. These strong desires can be burned out completely when one fully engages in the service of the Lord in devotional service. Text 5. Sometimes the conditioned soul in household life, being attached to material wealth and possessions, is disturbed by envious men who are like gadflies and mosquitoes. And sometimes he is troubled by thieves who are like locusts, birds of prey, and rats. Nonetheless, he still wanders down the path of material existence. Due to ignorance, he becomes lusty and engages in fruitive activity. Because his mind is absorbed in these activities, he sees the material world as permanent, although it is temporary, like a phantasmagoria, a house in the sky. Purport. The following song is sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Ankari matahaya nitai pada pasariya asat yari satyakari mani. Due to forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and being puffed up by material possessions, wealth, and opulence, one thinks the false temporary material world to be an actual fact. This is the material disease. The living entity is eternal and blissful, but despite miserable material conditions, he thinks the material world to be real and factual due to his ignorance.
Text 6. Sometimes in this house in the sky, Gandharva Pura, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, he chases after the objects of the senses, just as a deer chases a mirage in the desert. Purport. There are two worlds, the spiritual and the material. The material world is false, like a mirage in the desert. In the desert, animals think they see water, but actually there is none. Similarly, those who are animalistic try to find peace within the desert of material life. It is repeatedly said in different shastras that there is no pleasure in this material world. Furthermore, even if we agree to live without pleasure, we are not allowed to do so. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the material world is not only full of miseries, dukkhalayam, but also temporary, ashashvatam. Even if we want to live here amid miseries, material nature will not allow us to do so. It will oblige us to change bodies and enter another atmosphere full of miserable conditions. 7. Sometimes the living entity is interested in the yellow stool known as gold and runs after it. That gold is the source of material opulence and envy, and it can enable one to afford illicit sex, gambling, meat-eating, and intoxication. Those whose minds are overcome by the mode of passion are attracted by the color of gold, just as a man suffering from cold in the forest runs after phosphorescent light in a marshy land, considering it to be fire. Purport. Parikshit Maharaj told Kali Yuga to leave his kingdom immediately and reside in four places: brothels, liquor shops, slaughterhouses, and gambling casinos. However, Kali Yuga requested him to give him only one place where these four places are included, and Parikshit Maharaj gave him the place where gold is stored. Gold encompasses the four principles of sin, and therefore, according to spiritual life, gold should be avoided as far as possible. If there is gold, there is certainly illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. Because people in the Western world have a great deal of gold, they are victims of these four sins. The color of gold is very glittering, and a materialistic person becomes very much attracted by its yellow color. However, this gold is actually a type of stool. A person with a bad liver generally passes yellow stool. The color of this stool attracts a materialistic person, just as the will-o'-the-wisp attracts one who needs heat. 8. Sometimes the conditioned soul is absorbed in finding residential quarters or apartments and getting a supply of water and riches to maintain his body. Absorbed in acquiring a variety of necessities, he forgets everything and perpetually runs around the forest of material existence. Purport. As originally mentioned, a poor man belonging to the mercantile community goes to the forest to get some cheap goods to bring back to the city to sell at a profit. He is so absorbed in the thought of maintaining body and soul together that he forgets his original relationship with Krishna and seeks only the bodily comforts. Thus, material activities are the conditioned soul's only engagement. Not knowing the aim of life, the materialist perpetually wanders in material existence, struggling to get the necessities of life. Not understanding the aim of life, even though he acquires sufficient necessities, he manufactures artificial necessities and thus becomes more and more entangled. He creates a mental situation whereby he needs greater and greater comforts. The materialist does not know the secret of nature's ways. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vibhutatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Due to lusty desire, the living entity creates a certain mental situation whereby he wants to enjoy this material world. He thus becomes entangled, enters different bodies, and suffers in them. Hey Govinda. 9. Sometimes, as if blinded by the dust of a whirlwind, the conditioned soul sees beauty, the beauty of the opposite sex, which is called pramada. Being thus bewildered, he is raised upon the lap of a woman, and thus at that time his good senses are overcome by the force of passion. He thus becomes almost blind with lusty desire and disobeys the rules and regulations governing sex life. He does not know that his disobedience is witnessed by different demigods, and he enjoys illicit sex in the dead of night, not seeing the future punishment awaiting him. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 7:11, it is said, Dharma vido do bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshubha. Sex is allowed only for the begetting of children, not for enjoyment. One can indulge in sex to beget a good child for the benefit of the family, society, and world. Otherwise, sex is against the rules and regulations of religious life. A materialistic person does not believe that everything is managed in nature, and he does not know that if one does something wrong, he is witnessed by different demigods. A person enjoys illicit sex, and due to his blind, lusty desire, he thinks that no one can see him. But this illicit sex is thoroughly observed by the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the person is punished in so many ways. Presently in Kali Yuga, there are many pregnancies due to illicit sex, and sometimes abortions ensue. These sinful activities are witnessed by the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a man and woman who create such a situation are punished in the future by the stringent laws of material nature. Daivihi esha guna mayi mama maya duratyaya. Illicit sex is never excused, and those who indulge in it are punished life after life. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 16:20, Asurim yonamapana mudha janmani janmani mama prapyaiva kaunteya tato yantyatamam gatim. Attaining repeated birth and death, the species of demoniac, among the species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not allow anyone to act against the stringent laws of material nature. Therefore, illicit sex is punished life after life. Illicit sex creates pregnancies, and these unwanted pregnancies lead to abortion. Those involved become implicated in these sins, so much so that they are punished in the same way in the next life. Thus, in the next life, they also enter the womb of a mother and are killed in the same way. All these things can be avoided by remaining on the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one does not commit sinful activity. Illicit sex is the most prominent sin due to lusty desire. When one associates with the mode of passion, he is implicated in suffering life after life. Maybe, can we crack that just a tiny bit? It might bring in a little cross-ventilation. Sorry. Yes?
There's a question from Rupa Manjari.
From Rupa? Yeah, Manjari, yes, of course.
It's quite long. How can we deal with the fact that this picture of material life always emphasizes the way that materialistic wives exploit husbands, but not how materialistic husbands exploit wives? Especially in this day and age, when the exploitation of women is so apparent, and the more spiritually interested members of any given family is often the wife, but her suffering is so frequently ignored? This is really a book distribution question as much as anything.
Yeah, the categories of description have to do, first of all, with highly materialistic people. And when it's describing those who are, for instance, women in a certain light, it's dealing with those in the context who are not devotees. As Prabhupada categorically states, that devotees are not in the same category, and this is the context between the men and women is being described in a particular era that is not familiar, that we're not familiar with it in this day and age. Kali Yuga is topsy-turvy in many different ways, so much so that the men have very little training in how to lead, and what to speak of how to deal properly in protecting women. And therefore, many of these particular descriptions have to be explained in a way that is accommodating to people so they can understand that it applies especially to people who are in materialistic consciousness in a general way, that they exploit one another. And whether one is in one role or another, if one is materialistically inclined, then through the agency of the material nature, that person exploits somebody else and takes advantage. And this is brought out in the section, for instance, if you read various sections of the Shastra and then make some conclusion, you may have an imbalanced perception, but if you have a wider swath, you'll see that the Shastra is equitable. For instance, when mentioning that for a man who is attracted by a woman without any context or without the right understanding of what the relationship is meant for, it's like falling into a blind well. where he becomes lost. But then, in the next verse, Shukadeva Goswami describes how it's like that for the man, it's like that for the woman, it's like that for the man. Each one is implicated by the agency of material nature because of being attracted to the opposite sex. So many people don't understand also that we live in a bi-dimensional universe. There's the material aspect and the spiritual aspect, and it's very difficult for them to separate the two and understand how we can be equitable on the spiritual level, but on the material level, one has to be very cautious and act according to Dharma. Otherwise, one becomes naturally implicated. More comment?
Well, I think that your points are all very well taken. And in addition to that, the way the laws of material nature work cannot be avoided. The human female form is actually the most attractive form in the universe. This is from Shastra. If you take all of the attractive forms of all the forms, all the attractive features and all the forms of the whole universe and put them into one form, it's the human female. And therefore, oftentimes, because nowadays it's everything's really mixed up, but oftentimes when they want to sell something, they put a very gorgeous woman's form right next to it, whether it be a, you know, a dishwasher or a lawnmower or a pillow or a, you know, bottle of liquor or whatever it is. And this is the way the material nature works, you know. And on top of that, it's extremely important that women are protected. And this is Rupa Manjari's point, and I think it's very well taken. And again, as Vaishnava Prabhu was explaining, it has to be understood in the proper context. Has there ever been a record of physical prowess in athletics or any other sport where the record for the women is greater than the record for the male body? No. You know, on a golf course, the tee is always for the women. It's always closer to the, you know, to the green, you know. And like that, the propaganda, you know, going out by the men, and in this way, if you want to preach, you can say, as Prabhupada said, it's the men's fault. It's the men's fault for trying to exploit the form of the woman for their sense gratification. And that's why this whole Me Too movement has come out over the last year or so, where all the men are in very high positions in every walk of life have been exposed to some kind of sexual abuse and exploitation. So in this way, it is going to be difficult to hear the Bhagavatam in the present-day context, you know. Therefore, it has to be understood based on the principles of material existence, you know. The natural, the male form, has a nature to be the pursuer in general, and the female form has the nature to be the pursued. It's been like that since time immemorial. You know, even in animal species, it's the same. You know. And, of course, now, because the Kali Yuga has been, as Prabhu said, topsy-turvy, as the laws of nature are broken more and more and more, then it's harder to see the clear situation. It's harder to see the clear laws of nature. And if they are followed, how it would make human society more peaceful and more conducive to spiritual principles, to spiritual inclinations, to spiritual life in general. And as those things get lost, then the conditioned souls become more and more degraded, and that's also a part of the plan of material nature, you know. In Kali Yuga, things get so degraded that the only thing that the conditioned souls will be able to hear more and more until the end, nobody can hear practically anything. I mean, there are a few devotees left, but very few. Then the only way they can actually get corrected is by the stick. You know, the different ways that you convince people. And an animal can only can be convinced by the stick, you know, at some point. So it's a very deep subject, and if we take one point of it out of context and just try to jump on the bandwagon of how they're talking about women being the attractive feature for this or that, you know, as Prabhu said, you know, if a person, if a household, a couple of devotees, and they're following the principles, they're accepted to be brahmacharis. A man and woman married, following the principles properly, they're considered to be brahmachari. So, therefore, the preaching has to be done very carefully and very consistently, and very few people are going to be able to hear at this point due to the intensity of the self-indignation and almost violent emotions that are going on, that are polarizing, you know, human society. So it's good for men and women to be very careful about this. It says in the Shastra to balance this, the things that are being said here, to balance it. It says in Shastra that if you offend a woman, then it's very serious offense. It's considered more offensive than offending a man or abusing a man. So due to the reactions of all these things, yeah, the situation has become so intense, the polemics, the quarreling tendency, the violent, the anger, and the from, as Krishna says, from lust comes from anger, then when one cannot fulfill the lust, which is never can be fulfilled, it's like a fire. You keep more fuel you put into a fire, the more it burns, hotter and hotter, and then it becomes anger. Lust becomes anger. Anger becomes causes delusion, bewilderment. Bewilderment causes loss of memory. Loss of memory means intelligence is lost. Then one can do anything. So we see, if we actually see the world through the eyes of these scriptures and see that people are actually raking all of these things, then it's no surprise, you know, why everyone is dissatisfied in human society now. Therefore, we have to take, as Vaishnika Prabhu said, we have to take the things that are in the Shastra in context. You know, in context, not out of context. I don't know if that helps.
It helps. Rupa Manjari was specifically asking about, it said there was a book distribution question and how to deal with such things when one is preaching in public and so forth. Mm. You have a point?
Yes, a book distribution response.
Wait a minute. Please pass that.
Hare Krishna.
Appreciating all the points that have been mentioned, as a book distribution response, I would mention two things. Number one, that in the culture where this was written, the role play was very clearly defined, so that's why it's explaining it in such a way. And number two, that for a man, woman means woman, and for a woman, man means woman. It means the object of enjoyment. So it goes both ways. But in the time that this was written, they weren't having the he, she, and this and that. So it was in a different culture. So that's why it's presented like that. But it goes both ways. And nowadays, you know, as you mentioned, things are very confused, or as we say in San Francisco, fluid. So the men are like women, the women are like men. So it applies equally. Both are in the same trouble, and both have to adhere to the same solution. So I would, as a short response, just to balance it out a bit.
And for the clothes, shall we go?
Points well taken on how the Bhagavatam is presenting material truths that may not be politically correct but are relevant on the material platform, and then cease to be so on the spiritual platform where the spiritual solutions are the same. At the same time, I've heard some devotees express an idea which makes sense to me logically, but I can't, you know, ascertain if it's something that I can safely accept or not. And I wanted your opinion. Is that one thing is that the Bhagavatam was traditionally presented, as all Shastras were actually, primarily to men. The audience of the Bhagavatam was not women directly. The women would learn from their husbands in a functional, fully contextual Varnashram society. So they would not be the first hearer of the Bhagavatam. They may be the second hearer of the Bhagavatam, so to speak. So is that a reasonable explanation for part of understanding why Shastra in general, not just the Bhagavatam, appears to be, you know, heavy-handed in one way or unbalanced in a way, is that actually it's contextual to who is supposed to be hearing it in a Varnashram society?
Without question. Part of the proof of that is Prabhupada's explanation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about his preaching method, which was explaining how, basically, he was explaining to people back in India, very specifically people in the Gaudiya Vaishnav context, who were culturally constrained and didn't have the vision that he had, nor the mandate that he had to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And when he got to America, he explained, boys and girls spend time together. It's not like in India, he was saying. So even in this particular age, even recently, what to speak of thousands of years ago, even hundreds of years ago, men and women, although they lived in the same house, they lived separately in the house. The women lived in the interior, the men lived on the exterior, so that they were protected on the inside, and there wasn't a lot of intermingling. It wasn't like, you know, people coming over, spending time for parties, and everyone mixing. So this is definitely there's definitely a cultural context to it. That's, I mentioned that in the first thing I said, in how it's presented. And so Prabhupada was saying when he came to America that one has to adjust that in order to propagate the Bhagavatam so that everyone can understand it. So even if it's even applicable, or was applicable when Prabhupada came to America initially, what to speak of hundreds and thousands of years ago.
Recently in Houston, there have been some... Recently in Houston, due to our daily reading of the Bhagavatam, like we're doing here, of course not 5 hours a day, but hour and a half a day, every single day, I have a witness here. Matt is a witness, as one of the fruits.
Specifically,
yeah. And there have been some young girls coming, young, like 18, 19, 20, 21, young women coming. And I was just shocked because we were reading second canto of the Bhagavatam, where there are quite a few purports like this, and two of them. Came up to, they didn't come to me, but they said, I don't remember who they said it to, but one of the older ladies or one of the older men in the readings, and they said, oh yes, I had this figured out at about 18.
You know, she was 19.
That one was 20 or 21, you know? So another point is that, of course this doesn't directly address the point, but it's an indirect preaching consideration that we might want to consider. And that is that there are a growing number of persons in modern society, especially millennials, who are picking up on this. And even, you know, there's a lower divorce rate among millennials than there are in the other. It's actually bringing down the divorce rate on the average. The millennials are bringing it down. And there's more celibacy. There's a trend towards more celibacy going on. And, you know, so what I'm trying to say, for preaching purposes, there is an audience.
We have a niche market.
There's an audience. And I'm finding that if I don't water it down, if I just read these books straight, then Krishna in the heart of the soul stimulates the souls that actually can hear to come and hear. Now, this may not be practical in a numeric sense. You may say, well, yeah, but what about 99.9% of the people? Well, that's okay. Prabhupada said that you have to be fortunate to take to Krishna consciousness. And if the truth isn't there on the table, you know, for someone to hear, then the persons who can hear, they'll have nothing to hear. They won't have the right thing to hear. And Prabhupada used to say, you know, it's not practical it's a false expectation to think that the world is going to become completely Krishna conscious. It's a Kali Yuga. You know? But if just a small percentage of the population becomes fully Krishna conscious, you know, and starts hearing and chanting like we are, it will have a tremendous effect in human society, and at least create what he wanted to create, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He wanted to create a society in which these things are not only understood but accepted, and we're agreeing to live by their principles, and therefore show the people what a nonviolent society is. And if we understand our roles and play them according to the laws of nature, and don't try to break the laws of nature in the way that we interact with one another, male and female, etc., and different members of society, then that was Prabhupada's mission. That was Prabhupada's mission, for us to show, you know, through the principles in the Bhagavatam, to re-spiritualize human society. So I would say, for book distribution, go for it.
My last point. Just
to balance further things, you said something which I just struggled to find some quotation. It's from Manusmriti. Actually, I have. This is something which Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj said in a lecture just last week. And can I just quote this very short passage? It sure contains this Manus. Manus says that if you insult a chaste woman, you, your family, everybody connected with you, your dentist, the guy that delivers the pizza, everybody is destroyed. What happens to Troya after the war? Everything was destroyed. They were so powerful, but because they dealt badly, they were destroyed. All senators that killed Caesar were killed to the last one of them. Just to mention that this goes both ways. I mean, like, if somebody makes the mistake any direction, mistreating anybody, it's not matter of women or men or somebody, but if the relationship goes wrong, offensive, it's very bad, and it's not that anyhow men are in anyhow in easier position.
Thank you.
Yeah, and in that context, the equality that they're winning, and they are winning more social equality, has the world become a more peaceful place?
Continuing. Thank you, Rupa Manjari. The conditioned soul sometimes personally appreciates the facility
The conditioned soul sometimes personally appreciates the futility of sense enjoyment in the material world, and he sometimes considers material enjoyment to be full of miseries. However, due to his strong bodily conception, his memory is destroyed, and again he runs after material enjoyment, just as an animal runs after a mirage in the desert. Purport: the main disease in material life is the bodily conception. Being baffled again and again in material activity, the conditioned soul temporarily thinks of the futility of material enjoyment, but he again tries the same thing. By the association of devotees, a person may become convinced of the material futility, but he cannot give up his engagement, although he is very eager to return home back to Godhead. Under these circumstances, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, compassionately takes away all the material possessions of such a devotee. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8, Yasyaham managrinami harishe tadtanam shanai. Lord Krishna says that he takes everything away from the devotee whom he especially favors when that devotee is overly attached to material possessions. When everything is taken away, the devotee feels helpless and frustrated in society, friendship, and love. He feels that his family does not care for him any longer, and he therefore completely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This is a special favor granted by the Lord to a devotee who cannot fully surrender to the Lord due to a strong bodily conception. As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ami vijna e murke vishaya kene diba. The Lord understands the devotee who hesitates to engage in the Lord's service, not knowing whether he should again try to revive his material life. After repeated attempts and failures, he fully surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord then gives him directions, and attaining happiness, he forgets all material engagement. I just remembered a circumstance on book distribution. I was out in New York City in front of the New York Public Library. Prem Kishore and I would go out during the summer for a couple weeks, and we just had a book table there. And it was near a yoga studio. So this young woman came down the street, and because there was a lot of them coming out of the, she was coming out of the yoga studio, and I showed her a Bhagavad Gita. And then she was kind of looking at it, but then she said something about the equality of men and women, and handed it back. And then Prem Kishore came along, and I was about to just accept it. You know, she had rejected it. She was going to go away because I've heard that before, and it was like intractable. And then he goes, "No, no, you don't understand. We're all female." And immediately she just kind of like, she opened her hand again. She took the book. She goes, "No, this explains we're all female. Because we're all spirit souls. It has nothing to do with male and female. It's like we're all female." And she ended up buying the book happily and taking it away. So just a shorter one, because there were so many explanations given after that simple question by Rupert Munjari. Well, not simple, but, you know, she maybe wanted a brief answer. But I remember that because it was his conviction and very direct statement that he made, that immediately she was like, "Oh, reversal, okay, no problem, I'll take it then." And that brings us to the cow break. We'll be back here at 5 o'clock. Thank you very much. Gopremanande Haribo. See you in 15 minutes. We're continuing with our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment. We're taking up at text number 11, where we left off at the cow break. Sometimes the conditioned soul is very aggrieved by the chastisement of his enemies and government servants, who use harsh words against him directly or indirectly. At that time, his heart and ears become very saddened. Such chastisement may be compared to the sounds of owls and crickets. Purport: there are different types of enemies within this material world. The government chastises one due to not paying income taxes. Such criticism, direct or indirect, saddens one, and sometimes the conditioned soul tries to counteract that chastisement. Unfortunately, he cannot do anything. 12. Due to his pious activities in previous lives, the conditioned soul attains material facilities in this life, but when they are finished, he takes shelter of wealth and riches, which cannot help him in his life, in this life or the next. Because of this, he approaches the living dead who possess these things. Such people are compared to impure trees, creepers, and poisonous wells. Purport. The wealth and riches acquired through previous pious activities should not be misused for sense gratification. Enjoying them for sense gratification is like enjoying the fruits of a poisonous tree. Such activities will not help the conditioned soul in any way, neither in this life nor in the next. However, if one engages his possessions in the service of the Lord under the guidance of a proper spiritual master, he will attain happiness both in this life and the next. Unless he does so, he eats a forbidden apple and thereby loses his paradise. Lord Sri Krishna therefore advises that one's possessions should be given unto him. Yet kodoshi adashnasi, yet juhoshi dadasi yat, yet tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Material wealth and opulence attained through previous pious activities can be fully utilized for one's benefit in this life and the next if one is Krishna conscious. One should not try to possess more than he needs for the bare necessities. If one gets more than is needed, the surplus should be fully utilized in the Lord's service. That will make the conditioned soul, the world, and Krishna happy. And this is the aim of life. 13. Sometimes, to mitigate distresses in this forest of the material world, the conditioned soul receives cheap blessings from atheists. He then loses all intelligence in their association. This is exactly like jumping in a shallow river. As a result, one simply breaks his head. He is not able to mitigate his sufferings from the heat, and in both ways he suffers. The misguided conditioned soul also approaches so-called sadhus and swamis who preach against the principles of the Vedas. He does not receive benefit from them, either in the present or in the future. Purport, cheaters are always there to manufacture their own way of spiritual realization. To get some material benefit, the conditioned soul approaches these pseudo-sannyasis and yogis for cheap blessings, but he does not receive any benefit from them, either spiritual or material. In this age, there are many cheaters who show some jugglery and magic. They even create gold to amaze their followers, and their followers accept them as God. This type of cheating is very prominent in Kali Yuga. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the real guru in this way. Samsara dava nadalida loka tranaya karunya ganagana tvam praptasya karunya nahunana vasya vande gura shri charanada vinda. One should approach a guru who can extinguish the blazing fire of this material world, the struggle for existence. People want to be cheated, and therefore they go to the yogis and swamis who play tricks. But tricks do not mitigate the miseries of material life. If being able to manufacture gold is a criterion for becoming God, then why not accept Krishna, the proprietor of the entire universe, wherein there are countless tons of gold? As mentioned before, the color of gold is compared to will-o'-the-wisp or yellow stool. Therefore, one should not be allured by gold manufacturing gurus, but should sincerely approach a devotee like Jed Bharat. Jed Bharat instructed Rahugana Maharaj so well that the king was relieved from the bodily conception. One cannot become happy by accepting a false guru. A guru should be accepted as advised in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jignasu shreya uttamam. One should approach a bona fide guru to inquire about the highest benefit of life. Such a guru is described as follows. Shabde parita nishnatam. Such a guru does not manufacture gold or juggle words. He is well versed in the conclusions of Vedic knowledge. Vedaishta sarver ahameva vedya. He is freed from all material contamination and is fully engaged in Krishna's service. If one is able to obtain the dust of the lotus feet of such a guru, his life becomes successful. Otherwise, he is baffled both in this life and in the next. 14. In this material world, when the conditioned soul cannot arrange for his own maintenance, despite exploiting others, he tries to exploit his own father or son, taking away that relative's possessions, although they may be very insignificant. If he cannot acquire things from his father, son, or other relatives, he is prepared to give them all kinds of trouble. Purport. Once we actually saw a distressed man steal ornaments from his daughter just to maintain himself. As the English proverb goes, necessity knows no law. When a conditioned soul needs something, he forgets his relationship with his relatives and exploits his own father or son. We also receive information from Srimad Bhagavatam that in this age of Kali, the time is quickly approaching when a relative will kill another relative for a small farthing. Without Krishna consciousness, people will deteriorate further and further into a hellish condition wherein they will perform abominable acts. 15. In this world, family life is exactly like a blazing fire in the forest. There is not the least happiness, and gradually one becomes more and more implicated in unhappiness. In household life, there is nothing favorable for perpetual happiness. Being implicated in home life, the conditioned soul is burned by the fire of lamentation. Sometimes he condemns himself as being very unfortunate, and sometimes he claims that he suffers because he performed no pious activities in his previous life. Purport. In the Gurvashtaka, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has sung, Samsara Dhavana Dalita Loka Tanayakaranyaganaganatvam. A life in this material world is exactly like a blazing forest fire. No one goes to set fire in the forest, yet the fire takes place. Similarly, everyone wants to be happy in this material world, but the miserable conditions of material life simply increase. Sometimes a person caught in the blazing fire of material existence condemns himself, but due to his bodily conception, he cannot get out of the entanglement, and thus he suffers more and more.
Text 16. Government men are always like carnivorous demons called rakshasas, man-eaters. Sometimes these government men turn against the conditioned soul and take away all his accumulated wealth. Being bereft of his life's reserved wealth, the conditioned soul loses all enthusiasm. Indeed, it is as though he loses his life. Purport. The word Rajakula Rakshasa is very significant. Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled about 5,000 years ago, yet government men are referred to as Rakshasas, or carnivorous demons. If government men are opposed to a person, that person will be bereft of all his riches, which he has accumulated with great care over a long period of time. Actually, no one wants to pay income taxes. Even government men themselves try to avoid these taxes. But at unfavorable times, income taxes are exacted forcibly, and the taxpayers become very morose. Text 17. Sometimes the conditioned soul imagines that his father or grandfather has again come in the form of his son or grandson. In this way, he feels the happiness one sometimes feels in a dream, and the conditioned soul sometimes takes pleasure in such mental concoctions. Purport. Due to ignorance of the real existence of the Lord, the conditioned soul imagines many things. Influenced by fruitive activity, he comes together with his relatives, fathers, sons, and grandfathers, exactly as straws gather together in a moving stream. In a moment, the straws are thrown everywhere and they lose contact. In conditional life, the living entity is temporarily with many other conditioned souls. They gather together as family members, and the material affection is so strong that even after a father or grandfather passes away, one takes pleasure in thinking that they return to the family in different forms. Sometimes this may happen, but in any case, the conditioned soul likes to take pleasure in such concocted thoughts. Text 18. In household life, one is ordered to execute many yajñas and fruitive activities, especially the vivaha yajña, the marriage ceremony for sons and daughters, and the sacred thread ceremony. These are all the duties of a grihastha, and they are very extensive and troublesome to execute. They are compared to a big hill over which one must cross when one is attached to material activities. A person desiring to cross over these ritualistic ceremonies certainly feels pains like the piercing of thorns and pebbles endured by one attempting to climb a hill. Thus the conditioned soul suffers unlimitedly. Purport. There are many social functions for keeping a prestigious position in society. In different countries and societies, there are various festivals and rituals. In India, the father is supposed to get his children married. When he does so, his responsibility to the family is complete. Arranging marriages is very difficult, especially in these days. At the present moment, no one can perform the proper ritual of sacrifice, nor can anyone afford to pay for the marriage ceremony of sons and daughters. Therefore, householders are very much distressed when they are confronted by these social duties. It is as though they were pierced by thorns and hurt by pebbles. Material attachment is so strong that despite the suffering, one cannot give it up. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommends, Hitvatmapatam grihamandakupam vanam katoyad dadamashayeta. The so-called comfortable family position is compared to a dark well in a field. If one falls in a dark well covered by grass, his life is lost, despite his cry for rescue. Highly advanced spiritualists therefore recommend that one should not enter the grihastha ashram. It is better to prepare oneself in the brahmacharya ashram for austerities and remain a pure brahmachari throughout one's life so that one will not feel the piercing thorns of material life in the grihastha ashram. In the grihastha ashram, one has to accept invitations from friends and relatives and perform ritualistic ceremonies. By so doing, one becomes captivated by such things, although he may not have sufficient resources to continue them. To maintain the grihastha lifestyle, one has to work very hard to acquire money. Thus one is implicated in material life and he suffers the thorn pricks. 19. Sometimes, due to bodily hunger and thirst, the conditioned soul becomes so disturbed that he loses his patience and becomes angry with his own beloved sons, daughters, and wife. Thus being unkind to them, he suffers all the more. Purport. Srila Vidyapati Thakur has sung, Tatale saikate bari bindu sama sutamita ramani samaje. The happiness of family life is compared to a drop of water in the desert. No one can be happy in family life. According to the Vedic civilization, one cannot give up the responsibilities of family life. But today everyone is giving up family life by divorce. This is due to the miserable condition experienced in the family. Sometimes due to misery, one becomes very hardened toward his affectionate sons, daughters, and wife. This is but a part of the blazing fire of the forest of material life. Text 20. Shukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, Sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep. Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus the conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. Purport. Material life means being fully absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Out of these, sleep is taken very seriously. While asleep, one completely forgets the object of life and what to do. For spiritual realization, one should try to avoid sleep as much as possible. The Goswamis in Vrindavan practically did not sleep at all. Of course, they slept some, for the body requires sleep, but they slept only about 2 hours, and sometimes not even that. They always engaged in spiritual cultivation. Nidra had vihad akadi vichitao. Following the footsteps of the Goswamis, we should try to reduce sleeping, eating, mating, and defending.
Text 21. In the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul is sometimes bitten by envious enemies, which are compared to serpents and other creatures. Through the tricks of the enemy, the conditioned soul falls from his prestigious position. Being anxious, he cannot even sleep properly. He thus becomes more and more unhappy, and he gradually loses his intelligence and consciousness. In that state, he becomes almost perpetually like a blind man who has fallen into a dark well of ignorance. 22. The conditioned soul is sometimes attracted to the little happiness derived from sense gratification. Thus he has illicit sex or steals another's property. At such a time, he may be arrested by the government or chastised by the woman's husband or protector. Thus, simply for a little material satisfaction, he falls into a hellish condition and is put into jail for rape, kidnapping, theft, and so forth. Purport, material life is such that due to indulgence in illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating, the conditioned soul is always in a dangerous condition. Meat eating and intoxication excite the senses more and more, and the conditioned soul falls victim to women. In order to keep women, money is required, and to acquire money, one begs, borrows, or steals. Indeed, he commits abominable acts that cause him to suffer both in this life and in the next. Consequently, illicit sex must be stopped by those who are spiritually inclined or who are on the path of spiritual realization. Many devotees fall down due to illicit sex. They may steal money or even fall down from the highly honored renounced order. Then, for a livelihood, they accept menial services and become beggars. It is therefore said in the Shastras, Yan maitunadi griyamedi sukham hi tuchcham. Materialism is based on sex, whether illicit or licit, licit or illicit. Sex is full of dangers, even for those who are addicted to household life. Whether one has a license for sex or not, there is great trouble. Bahutuka pak. After one indulges in sex, many volumes of miseries ensue. One suffers more and more in material life. A miserly person cannot properly utilize the wealth he has, and similarly, a materialistic person misuses the human form. Instead of using it for spiritual emancipation, he uses the body for sense gratification. Therefore, he is called a miser. 23. Learned scholars and transcendentalists therefore condemn the materialistic path of fruitive activity because it is the original source and breeding ground of material miseries, both in this life and in the next. Purport. Not knowing the value of life, karmis create situations whereby they suffer in this life and the next. Unfortunately, karmis are very attached to material sense gratification, and they cannot appreciate the miserable condition of material life, neither in this life nor in the next. Therefore, the Vedas enjoin that one should awaken to spiritual consciousness and utilize all his activities to attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita 9:27, Yat Karoshi Yadashnasi, Yat Johoshi Dadasi Yat, Yat Tapasasi Kaunteya, Tat Kurushva Madarpanam. O Son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. The results of all one's activities should be utilized not for sense gratification, but for the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord gives all information in Bhagavad Gita about the aim of life, and at the end of Bhagavad Gita, he demands surrender unto him. People do not generally like this demand, but one who cultivates spiritual knowledge for many births eventually surrenders unto his lotus feet. For many births, eventually surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Bahunam jamanamante gyanavam mam prapadyate. 24. Stealing or cheating another person out of his money, the conditioned soul somehow or other keeps it in his possession and escapes punishment. Then another man named Devadatta cheats him and takes the money away. Similarly, another man named Vishnu Mitra steals the money from Devadatta and takes it away. In any case, the money does not stay in one place. It passes from one hand to another. Ultimately, no one can enjoy the money, and it remains the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yay! Purport. Riches come from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and the goddess of fortune is the property of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goddess of fortune cannot stay anywhere but by the side of Narayan. Therefore, another of her names is Chanchala, restless. She cannot be peaceful unless she is in the company of her husband, Narayan. For example, Lakshmi was carried away by the materialistic Ravana. Ravana kidnapped Sita, the goddess of fortune belonging to Lord Ram. As a result, Ravana's entire family, opulence, and kingdom were smashed, and Sita, the goddess of fortune, was recovered from his clutches and reunited with Lord Ram. Thus, all property, riches, and wealth belong to Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhuktaram yajyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the true beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, and he is the supreme proprietor of all the planetary systems. Foolish, materialistic people collect money and steal from other thieves, but they cannot keep it. In any case, it must be spent. One person cheats another, and another person cheats someone else. Therefore, the best way to possess Lakshmi is to keep her by the side of Narayan. This is the point of the Krishna consciousness movement. We worship Lakshmi, Radharani, along with Narayan, Krishna. We collect money from various sources, but that money does not belong to anyone but Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. If money is utilized in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, the devotee automatically lives in an opulent way. However, if one wants to enjoy Lakshmi the way Ravana did, he will be vanquished by the laws of nature, and whatever few possessions he has will be taken away. Finally, death will take everything away, and death is the representative of Krishna. Yes, sir.
I just trying to understand the previous purport where gold was to yellow stool, and then yellow is gold is wealth, is Lakshmi also. So why is it that
pebbles? The one who sees pebble stones of gold is the same. Samalutrashmas kankshanaha. It's a different perspective from the point of view of the Atmatattva Gyan. These things are untouchable practically. But it's just a different it's preaching renunciation really here. But this is another kind of renunciation being preached here, that you have gold, you should use it in Krishna service. Did I short circuit your question?
Yes. So it leads to something else, that we find that a lot of criminal activities, very important activities, bring very quick wealth, like drug dealing and so many prostitution, brings Lakshmi very, very quickly. So under what principle that happens? How is that?
Prabhupada explains very simply, it's due to previous pious activities. It's not from what they're doing now. It's from previous pious activities.
Pious activities?
Yes.
When they do drug dealing?
No. From previous life.
Previous life.
Is that in the same
They're getting the wealth quickly, whatever, however they're doing it, through the culture now. But they're getting that wealth due to things that happened in the previous lifetime, pious.
Madhvadam, oh yes.
Yeah, I read this. I mean, it's just like we're having two perspectives here. One of them is that wealth is like gold. All the activities in Kali Yuga become magnified, whether it's gold, whether it's wealth. And the other one is that, you know, wealth is Lakshmi, which is considered auspicious. So I just say...
Well, the whole point is it's auspicious if you utilize it properly.
That's the point.
Otherwise, you're in big trouble. You're in a heap of trouble real fast.
Question from Madhu.
Yes,
Dhamra, I will be at the back, please.
Yes, as you know, there are two kinds of Lakshmi, actually. And one is Alakshmi, and the other is Lakshmi. It's actually the same energy, just like Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. That same Sita destroyed Ravan's whole kingdom, and that same Sita is, in Ayodhya with Lord Ram serving. So it's the way we utilize it. And that is yellow stool, that which is Alakshmi. It is said she comes from the back door, because the like selling drugs, doing all these. Yeah, it's the front door is, previously the houses had two doors. And Lakshmi usually enters from the front door. But Alakshmi, when our activities are in related with bad karma, then, these mafia people also earn money. But that is Alakshmi, that will eventually destroy their life like that. Hare Krishna.
Yes, does gold bear? I'm editing the typos a little bit. Does gold bear a rajasic quality?
Does gold bear a rajasic quality?
Yeah. Does it carry rajas, gold?
Depends how you utilize it. Pursuant to our conversation.
That's from Kavita Mali Patil Biradara.
Hoarding gold for the sake of material enjoyment is in the lower modes of material nature, and it binds one, and all of the sinful activities that are associated with Kali Yuga reside there. This was stated earlier. However, if you get gold and you utilize it to spread the Krishna Conscious Movement, especially by sending donations to 1-800-622. We'll be standing by to take your donations of gold, cash, credit cards, silver, or any other in-kind, Bitcoin. We'll take whatever you give. And this marathon, we'd like to turn it into those yellow Bhagavad Gitas, same color as gold. We'll use your gold donations to purchase as many Bhagavad Gitas as possible, and we'll distribute them as fast as possible. To date, the Moto Gita program, started by one devotee, has distributed 500,000 Bhagavad Gitas to motels and hotels. And so that all came from gold. As people, they were taking out their fillings, gold fillings, they were finding gold. Whatever they could find it, buried in a coffee can in the backyard, take the gold out, put it in, and send it to 1965 Latham Street, Mountain View, California. Okay, last verse for myself.
It looks like Babaji has a question.
Babaji. Yes, Babaji.
Money never stays in one place.
Yes.
And it belongs to Krishna.
I got it.
Could you just speak?
And
yes. That was an excellent example how
Devadatta steals some money, and then he tries to enjoy it, but Vishnumitra comes along and he takes it from Devadatta. In any case, the money doesn't stay in one place and it still belongs to Krishna the whole time. Very, very well done, Sridham. Back in the game.
Somebody stole my granddad's wallet. And yesterday, somebody stole my granddad's wallet.
Oh. He stole what?
He was pickpocketed. He was taking some neem leaves.
My granddad.
Really?
And they said there is an insect on his shirt, and they said just lift it up. And he did that, and they took the wallet.
Was that a Radhadamanar?
No,
it's at just outside our building.
Just outside your building.
Yes.
What a shame. So was his name Devadatta? Right now, they walk down the street and Vishnumitra said, excuse me. Look over there. And then they accidentally dropped it and somebody put it in the hundi at Krishna Balaram. Either that or they heard this broadcast and they sent it to 1965 Latham Street, California. Being unable to protect himself from the threefold miseries of material existence, the conditioned soul becomes very morose and lives a life of lamentation. These threefold miseries are miseries suffered by mental calamity at the hands of the demigods, such as freezing wind and scorching heat, miseries offered by other living entities, and miseries arising from the mind and body themselves. Purport. The so-called happy materialistic person is constantly having to endure the threefold miseries of life, called adidaivika, adhyatmika, and adibhautika. Actually, no one can counteract these threefold miseries. All three may assail one at one time, or one misery may be absent and the other present. Thus, the living entity is full of anxiety, fearing misery from one side or the other. The conditioned soul must be disturbed by at least one of these three miseries. There is no escape.
Text 26. As far as transactions with money are concerned, if one person cheats another by a farthing or less, they become enemies. Purport. This is called samsara davanala. Even in ordinary transactions between two people, there is invariably cheating because the conditioned soul is defective in four ways. He is illusioned, he commits mistakes, his knowledge is imperfect, and he has a propensity to cheat. Unless one is liberated from material conditioning, these four defects must be there. Consequently, every man has a cheating propensity, which is employed in business or money transactions. Although two friends may be living peacefully together, due to their propensity to cheat, they become enemies when there is a transaction between them. A philosopher accuses an economist of being a cheater, and an economist may accuse a philosopher of being a cheater when he comes in contact with money. In any case, this is the condition of material life. One may profess a high philosophy, but when one is in need of money, he becomes a cheater. In this material world, so-called scientists, philosophers, and economists are nothing but cheaters in one way or another. The scientists are cheaters because they present so many bogus things in the name of science. They propose going to the moon, but actually they end up cheating the entire public of large sums of money for their experiments. They cannot do anything useful unless one can find a person transcendental to the four basic defects. One should not accept advice and become a victim of the material condition. The best process is to take the advice and instructions of Sri Krishna, or his bona fide representative.
In this way, one can be happy in this life and the next. Text 27. In this materialistic life, there are many difficulties, as I have just mentioned, and all of these are insurmountable. In addition, there are difficulties arising from so-called happiness, distress, attachment, hate, fear, false prestige, illusion, madness, lamentation, bewilderment, greed, envy, enmity, insult, hunger, thirst, tribulation, disease, birth, old age, and death. What have you got in your wallet? All these combine together to give the materialistic conditioned soul nothing but misery. Purport. The conditioned soul has to accept all these conditions simply to enjoy sense gratification in this world. Although people declare themselves great scientists, economists, philosophers, politicians, and sociologists, they are actually nothing but rascals. Therefore, they have been described as mudhas and naradamas in Bhagavad Gita. Namam duskritino mudha prabhajante naradamaha mayaya purita jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Due to their foolishness, all these materialists are described in Bhagavad Gita as naradamas. They have attained the human form in order to get released from material bondage, but instead of doing so, they become further embarrassed amid the miserable material conditions. Therefore they are naradamas, the lowest of men. One may ask whether scientists, philosophers, economists, and mathematicians are also naradamas, the lowest of men. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead replies that they are, because they have no actual knowledge. They are simply proud of their false prestige and position. Actually, they do not know how to get relief from the material condition and renovate their spiritual life of transcendental bliss and knowledge. Consequently, they waste time and energy in the search for so-called happiness. These are the qualifications of the demons. In Bhagavad Gita it says that when one has all these demonic qualities, he becomes a mudha. Due to this, he envies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, birth after birth, he is born into a demonic family, and he transmigrates from one demonic body to another. Thus, he forgets his relationship with Krishna and remains a naradama in an abominable condition, life after life. Text 28. Sometimes the conditioned soul is attracted by illusion personified, his wife or girlfriend, and because eager to be embraced by a woman. Thus he loses his intelligence as well as knowledge of life's goal. At that time, no longer attempting spiritual cultivation, he becomes overly attached to his wife or girlfriend and tries to provide her with a suitable apartment. Again, he becomes very busy under the shelter of that home and is captivated by the talks, glances, and activities of his wife and children. In this way, he loses his Christian consciousness and throws himself in the dense darkness of material existence. Purport. When the conditioned soul is embraced by his beloved wife, he forgets everything about Christian consciousness. The more he becomes attached to his wife, the more he becomes implicated in family life. One Bengali poet, Bankim Chandra, says that to the eyes of the lover, the beloved is always very beautiful, even though ugly. This attraction is called Devamaya. The attraction between man and woman is the cause of bondage for both. Actually, both belong to the Para Prakriti, the superior energy of the Lord. Both are actually Prakriti,
female. Yes, Satya Raj has done it again. Oh no, that was, I'm sorry, that was Prem Kishore. However, because both want to enjoy one another, they are sometimes described as Purusha, male. Actually, neither is Purusha, but both can be superficially described as Purusha. As soon as man and woman are united, they become attached to home, hearth, land, friendship, and money. In this way, they are both entrapped in material existence. The word bujalata upagudha, meaning being embraced by beautiful arms, which are compared to creepers, describes the way the conditioned soul is bound within this material world. The products of sex life, sons and daughters, certainly follow. This is the way of material existence. 29. The personal weapon used by Lord Krishna, the disc, is called Hari Chakra, the disc of Hari. This disc is the wheel of time. It expands from the beginning of the atoms up to the time of Brahma's death, and it controls all activities. It is always revolving and spending the lives of the living entities from Lord Brahma down to an insignificant blade of grass. Thus one changes from infancy to childhood to youth to maturity, and thus one approaches the end of life. It is impossible to check this wheel of time. This wheel is very exacting because it is the personal weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the conditioned soul, fearing the approach of death, wants to worship someone who can save him from imminent danger. Yet he does not care for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose weapon is the indefatigable time factor. The conditioned soul instead takes shelter of a man-made god described in unauthorized scriptures. Such gods are like buzzards, vultures, herons, and crows. Vedic scriptures do not refer to them. Imminent death is like the attack of a lion, and neither vultures, buzzards, crows, nor herons can save one from such an attack. One who takes shelter of unauthorized, man-made gods cannot be saved from the clutches of death. Purport. It is stated, Harim bina naiva mritim taranti. No one can save himself from the cruel hands of death without being favored by Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Mamiva ye prabhadyante mayam etam tarantite. Whoever fully surrenders unto Krishna can be saved from the cruel hands of material nature. The conditioned soul, however, sometimes wants to take shelter of a demigod, man-made god, pseudo-incarnation, or bogus swami or yogi. All these cheaters claim to follow religious principles, and all this has become very popular in this age of Kali. There are many Pashandis who, without referring to the Shastras, pose themselves as incarnations, and foolish people follow them. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has left behind him Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Not referring to these authorized scriptures, rascals take shelter of man-made scriptures and try to compete with Lord Krishna. That is the greatest difficulty one encounters when trying to promote spiritual consciousness in human society. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying its best to bring people back to Krishna consciousness in its pure form, but the Pashandis and atheists who were cheaters are so numerous that sometimes we become perplexed and wonder how to push this movement forward. In any case, we cannot accept the unauthorized ways of so-called incarnations, gods, cheaters, and bluffers, who are described here as crows, vultures, buzzards, and herons. I want to say one thing about this point. he made, where was it?
CBBH. Crows, vultures, buzzards.
Yeah. Yeah, here. He says, foolish people, not referring to these rascals take shelter of man-made scriptures. So Prabhupada was even more angry or more intense about people who take the Bhagavad Gita and use the, you know, the popularity or the reputation of Krishna and write their own commentaries to the Bhagavad Gita or, you know, screw a meaning out of the verses themselves. This is the worst thing, even worse than, you know, making up something, you know, using the scripture and passing it off as Krishna's words.
Andantama pravishyati yav ye vidyam upasite tatapuye vidye tamo ya uvidyayamrataha.
You got that right.
That's what I'm talking about.
What you're talking about. Krishna was talking about that. Through you. Through you. Translation to text 30. The pseudo-swamis, yogis, and incarnations who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are known as Pashandis. They themselves are fallen and cheated because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement, and whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in his turn. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of Vedic principles, brahmanas, or those in Krishna consciousness, who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the Vedic rituals. However, being unable to stick to these principles, wait till things settle down here. Okay? When one is thus cheated, I'll read this again. There was too much things going on.
Let's read the whole canto again.
Okay, start then.
Start over.
The pseudo-swamis, yogis, and incarnations who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are known as Pashandis. They themselves are fallen and cheated because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement. And whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in his turn. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of Vedic principles, brahmanas or those in Krishna consciousness, who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the Vedic rituals. However, being unable to stick to these principles, these rascals again fall down and take shelter among Shudras, who are very expert in making arrangements for sex indulgence. Sex is very prominent among animals like monkeys, and such people who are enlivened by sex may be called descendants of monkeys. Purport. By fulfilling the process of evolution from the aquatics to the animal platform, a living entity eventually reaches the human form. The three modes of material nature are always working in the evolutionary process. Those who come to the human form through the quality of sattva-guna were crows in the last animal, Those who come to the human form through the quality of sattva-guna were cows in their last animal incarnation. Those who come to the human form through the quality of rajaguna were lions in their last animal incarnation. And those who come to the human form through the quality of tamaguna were monkeys in their last animal incarnation. So Darwin got something right. In this age, those who come through the monkey species are considered by modern anthropologists like Darwin to be descendants of monkeys. We receive information herein that those who are simply interested in sex are actually no better than monkeys. Monkeys are very expert in sexual enjoyment, and sometimes sex glands are taken from monkeys and placed in the human body so that a human being can enjoy sex in old age. Oh, God.
in this way modern civilization is advanced. Should have put a quote, put a quotation around that. Many monkeys in India were caught and sent to Europe so that the sex glands could serve as replacements for those of old people. Those who actually descend from the monkeys are interested in expanding their aristocratic families through sex. In the Vedas, there are also certain ceremonies especially meant for sexual improvement and promotion to higher planetary systems where the demigods are enjoying sex. The demigods are also very much inclined towards sex because that is the basic principle of material enjoyment. First of all, the conditioned soul is cheated by so-called swamis, yogis, and incarnations when he approaches them to be relieved of material miseries. When the conditioned soul is not satisfied with them, he comes to devotees and pure brahmanas who try to elevate him for final liberation from material bondage. However, the unscrupulous conditioned soul cannot rigidly follow the principles prohibiting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Thus, he falls down and takes shelter of people who are like monkeys. In the Krishna consciousness movement, these monkey disciples, being unable to follow the strict regulated principles, sometimes fall down and try to form societies based on sex. This is proof that such people are descendants of monkeys, as confirmed by Darwin. In this verse, it is therefore clearly stated, yata vanara jate. No, yata vanara jate.
Text 31. In this way, the descendants of the monkeys intermingle with each other, and they are generally known as Shudras. Without hesitating, they live and move freely, not knowing the goal of life. They are captivated simply by seeing the faces of one another, which remind them of sense gratification. They are always engaged in material activities known as Gramya Karma, and they work hard for material benefit. Thus, they forget completely that one day their small lifespans will be finished and they will be degraded in the evolutionary cycle. Purport. Materialistic people are sometimes called Shudras, or descendants of monkeys, due to their monkey-like intelligence. They do not care to know how the evolutionary process is taking place, nor are they eager to know what will happen after they finish their small human lifespan. This is the attitude of Shudras. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, this Krishna consciousness movement, is trying to elevate Shudras to the Brahmana platform so that they will know the real goal of life. Unfortunately, being overly attached to sense gratification, materialists are not serious in helping this movement. Instead, some of them try to suppress it. Thus, it is the business of monkeys to disturb the activities of the Brahmanas. The descendants of monkeys completely forget that they have to die, and they are very proud of scientific knowledge and the progress of material civilization. The word gramya karmana indicates activities meant only for the improvement of bodily comforts. Presently, all human society is engaged in improving economic conditions and bodily comforts. People are not interested in knowing what is going to happen after death, nor do they believe in the transmigration of the soul. When one scientifically studies the evolutionary theory, one can understand that human life is a junction where one may take the path of promotion or degradation. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti pratir vrata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. In this life, we have to prepare ourselves for promotion to the next life. Those who are in the mode of Rajoguna are generally interested in being promoted to the heavenly planets. Some, unknowingly, are degraded to lower animal forms. Those in the mode of goodness can engage in devotional service And after that, they can return home back to Godhead. Yanti de, yanti mad yajino bhimam. That is the real purpose of human life. This Krishna consciousness movement is trying to bring intelligent human beings to the platform of devotional service. Instead of wasting time trying to attain a better position in material life, one should simply endeavor to return home back to Godhead. Then all problems will be solved. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17, Srinvatam Sukata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantatsto Hibatrani Vidunoti Suhitsatam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. One simply has to follow the regulative principles, act like a brahmana, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll read that again. One simply has to follow the regulative principles, act like a brahmana, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, one purifies himself of the baser material modes, tamogun and rajogun, and becoming freed from the greed of these modes can attain complete peace of mind. In this way, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and one's relationship with Him, and thus be promoted to the highest perfection. Siddhim paramam gataha. Siddhim paramam gata. 32. Just as monkeys jump from one tree to another, the conditioned soul jumps from one body to another. As the monkey is ultimately captured by the hunter and is unable to get out of captivity, the conditioned soul, being captivated by momentary sex pleasure, becomes attached to different types of bodies and is encaged in family life. Family life affords the conditioned soul a festival of momentary sex pleasure, and thus he is completely unable to get out of the material clutches. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.9.29, Vishaya Kalu Sarvata Syat. Bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, are all very easily available in any form of life. It is stated here that the Vanara monkey is very much attracted to sex. Each monkey keeps at least 24 wives, and he jumps from one tree to another to capture the female monkeys. Thus, he immediately engages in sexual intercourse. In this way, the monkey's business is to jump from one tree to another and enjoy sex with his wives. The conditioned soul is doing the same thing, transmigrating from one body to another and engaging in sex. He thus completely forgets how to become free from the clutches of material encagement. Sometimes the monkey is captured by a hunter who sells its body to doctors so that the glands can be removed for the benefit of another monkey. All this is going on in the name of economic development and improved sex life. 33. In this material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it does not care for Krishna consciousness. He simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. Purport. Everyone is afraid of death, and however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease and old age, one must certainly accept death's notice. The conditioned soul becomes very morose to receive notice of death. His fear is compared to the fear experienced upon entering a dark mountain cave, and death is compared to a great elephant. 34. The conditioned soul suffers many miserable bodily conditions, such as being affected by severe cold and strong winds. He also suffers due to the activities of other living beings and due to natural disturbances. When he is unable to counteract them and has to remain in a miserable condition, he naturally becomes very morose because he wants to enjoy material facilities. 35. Sometimes conditioned souls exchange money, but in due course of time, enmity rises because of cheating. Although there may be a tiny profit, the conditioned souls cease to be friends and become enemies. Report, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8, Pumsastriya maituni bhavam etam dayormito hridaya grantamahu ato griyakshetra sutapta viter janasya moho yamaham bameti. The monkey-like conditioned soul first becomes attached to sex, and when intercourse actually takes place, he becomes more attached. He then requires some material comforts, apartment, house, food, friends, wealth, and so on. In order to acquire these things, he has to cheat others, and this creates enmity even among the most intimate friends. Sometimes this enmity is created between the conditioned soul and the father or spiritual master. Unless one is firmly fixed in the regulative principles, one may perform mischievous acts, even if one is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. We therefore advise our disciples to strictly follow the regulative principles. Otherwise, the most important movement for the upliftment of humanity will be hampered due to dissension among its members. Those who are serious about pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement should remember this and strictly follow the regulative principles so that their minds will not be disturbed.
Text 36.
Sometimes, having no money, the conditioned soul does not get sufficient accommodations. Sometimes he doesn't even have a place to sit, nor does he have the other necessities. In other words, he falls into scarcity. And at that time, when he is unable to secure the necessities by fair means, he decides to seize the property of others unfairly. When he cannot get the things he wants, he simply receives insults from others and thus becomes morose. Purport. It is said that necessity knows no law. When the conditioned soul needs money to acquire life's bare necessities, he adopts any means. He begs, borrows, or steals. Instead of receiving these things, he is insulted and chastised. Unless one is very well organized, one cannot accumulate riches by unfair means. Even if one acquires riches by unfair means, he cannot avoid punishment and insult from the government or the general populace. There are many instances of important peoples embezzling money, getting caught, and being put in prison. One may be able to avoid the punishment of prison, but one cannot avoid the punishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who works through the agency of material nature. This is described in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. Nature is very cruel. She does not excuse anyone. When people do not care for nature, they commit all kinds of sinful activities, and consequently, they have to suffer. 37. Although people may be enemies, in order to fulfill their desires again and again, they sometimes get married. Unfortunately, these marriages do not last very long, and the people involved are separated again by divorce or other means. Purport. As stated previously, every conditioned soul has the propensity to cheat, even in marriage. Everywhere in this material world, one conditioned soul is envious of another. For the time being, people may remain friends, but eventually they become enemies again and fight over money. Sometimes they marry and then separate by divorce or other means. On the whole, unity is never permanent. Due to the cheating propensity, both parties always remain envious. Even in Krishna consciousness, separation and enmity take place due to the prominence of material propensities. Text 38. The path of this material world is full of material miseries, and various troubles disturb the conditioned soul. Sometimes he loses, and sometimes he gains. In either case, the path is full of danger. Sometimes the conditioned soul is separated from his father by death or other circumstances. Leaving him aside, he gradually becomes attached to others, such as his children. In this way, the conditioned soul is sometimes illusioned and afraid. Sometimes he cries loudly out of fear. Sometimes he is happy, maintaining his family, and sometimes he is overjoyed and sings melodiously. In this way, he becomes entangled and forgets his separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead since time immemorial. Thus, he traverses the dangerous path of material existence, and on this path, he is not at all happy. Those who are self-realized simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to get out of this dangerous material existence. Without accepting the devotional path, one cannot get out of the clutches of material existence. The conclusion is that no one can be happy in material life. One must take to Krishna consciousness. Purport. By thoroughly analyzing the materialistic way of life, any sane man can understand that there is not the least happiness in this world. However, due to continuing on the path of danger from time immemorial and not associating with saintly persons, the conditioned soul, under illusion, wants to enjoy this material world. Material energy sometimes gives him a chance at so-called happiness, but the conditioned soul is perpetually being punished by material nature. It is therefore said, Dandit Jani Raja Jena Nahite Chubhaya. Materialistic life means continuous unhappiness, but sometimes we accept happiness as it appears between the gaps. Sometimes a condemned person is submerged in water and hauled out. Actually, all of this is meant for punishment, but he feels a little comfort when he is taken out of the water. This is the situation with the conditioned soul. All the shastras therefore advise that one associate with devotees and saintly people. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastrikoi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sirihoi. Even by a little association with devotees, the conditioned soul can get out of this miserable material condition. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. Therefore, all the members of this Krishna consciousness society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. This is the best humanitarian work. Text 39. Saintly persons who are friends to all living entities have a peaceful consciousness. They have controlled their senses and minds, and they easily attain the path of liberation, the path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable material conditions, a materialistic person cannot associate with them. Purport. The great Saint Jad Bharat described both the miserable condition and the means to get out. The only way out of it is association with devotees. And this association is very easy. Although unfortunate people also get this opportunity, due to their great misfortune, they cannot take shelter of pure devotees, and consequently they continuously suffer. Nonetheless, this Krishna consciousness movement insists that everyone take to this path by adopting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The preachers of Krishna consciousness go from door to door to inform people how they can be relieved from the miserable condition of material life. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasari Boy Bhakti Lata Beej. By the mercy of Krishna and Guru, one can get the seed of devotional service. If one is a little intelligent, he can cultivate Krishna consciousness and be freed from the miserable conditions of material life. 40. There were many great saintly kings who were very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus they simply created enmity with rival kings, fought with them, and died without having discharged life's real mission. Purport. The real mission of life for the conditioned soul is to reestablish the forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in devotional service so that he may revive Krishna consciousness after giving up the body. One doesn't have to give up his occupation as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, or whatever. In any position, while discharging his prescribed duty, one can develop Krishna consciousness simply by associating with devotees who are representatives of Krishna and who can teach this science. Regretfully, the big politicians and leaders in the material world simply create enmity and are not interested in spiritual advancement. Material advancement may be very pleasing to an ordinary man, but ultimately he is defeated because he identifies himself with the material body and considers everything related to it to be his property. This is ignorance. Actually, nothing belongs to him, not even the body. By one's karma, one gets a particular body, and if he does not utilize his body to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all his activities are frustrated. The real purpose of life is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Atak Pumbir Tuya Shrishta Vanashrama Vibhagashaha Svanushtitasya Dharmasya Sangsitir Haritoshanam. It really doesn't matter what activity a man engages in. If he can simply satisfy the Supreme Lord, his life is successful.
And this ends tonight's reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam of the matter of the fifth canto. We'll take it up tomorrow again at 10:45 a.m. India Standard Time. Plenty of room here in the live studio audience. We fit up to 1,000 people in this room, so feel free to come on down. Also, thank you for joining us online today. We felt your presence, and it's made all the difference in the world. Thanks for joining in and following this reading. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Thank you very much. Go premanande nitai gaura hari pa hari pa hari pa nitai gaura hari pa hari pa hari pa nitai gaura hari Vanchakop the Rishcha, Kripas in the Baby Chapatita, Pavli, Vio, Vaishnavi, Vio, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.